You're on.
Yeah,
you're on now.
Okay. Well, this is the Thursday night in LA call for the COS, and the date is Thursday, November 10th. Okay, so as far as the COS goes, I know that we have a couple things going. People are working on them. In this call, we're supposed to get our juices flowing and give reports on our successes and ideas and things to help institute the COS, which is basically a no-brainer thing to do at this point in order to protect our neighborhoods. It's like a neighborhood watch is what it is. But anyway, what I started to say was that we have a couple of people here, Ron Flick being the one that sort of headed it up, this PowerPoint that starts in a very good place, putting in perspective what the committees of safety are supposed to do and how they're really, in fact, like a neighborhood watch in all 3,145 counties. And we work with our law enforcement, our sheriffs, in order to do that. But it targets, with the militia clauses, the hunters, which is a no-brainer for much of the country. Maybe you're not going to get too much of that in New York City, but you know, the greater part of the landmass, and in the PowerPoint, it gives the statistics on how many hunters there are, how many hunting licenses, and just based on that alone is the biggest army in the world. Because, I mean, you know, you have one state that has 800,000 hunters in it. That's one state. That's a lot of, that's a heck of an army, 800,000 men in one state. It goes into the millions if you count everybody. And so the militia clauses we've been studying with Brent, if you're a hunter and you own a high-powered rifle, and the militia is all of us who are not in the service, any of us, Brent has been saying above 20, but I thought, you know, I had heard that it's all males between 17 and 45, but it doesn't matter. Fact of the matter is that we're all militia, and if you have a high-powered rifle and you can hit the bullseye every now and then, then what you're actually doing is you're fulfilling.
When it comes to this stuff, you're real secretive. Like you have
the first two clauses of the militia clauses is number one, to have a military grade weapon, which is a high powered rifle, and number two is to be proficient in it. So your hunters are already, without even knowing it, fulfilling the first two clauses of the Constitution, the militia clauses. Now, if our government was straightened out the way it was supposed to be, every state is supposed to appoint commanders, or I don't know what their rank would be, but they're supposed to command the militia in their state, and they're supposed to have resources, and they're supposed to have the military capability of training them. Because you get a bunch of guys that work in garages, and even hunters, they're not military men. You have to train them. And so the state is supposed to provide these commanders who are set up with resources in order to train the people should the militia need to be called up, should it be activated, and that's not happening. They're there, they're figureheads. Some states even aren't even putting them in, so we need to do that. But this PowerPoint targets the hunters, and it makes them aware of who they are and what the Constitution is and who the militia is, because the militia is us. It's not, you know, they try to vilify the militia. We're all the militia. This country was started because we had a militia. We're a country that was born out of the militia, and it was preserved in our Constitution because they knew that at some point it might be the militia that ends up saving the country with enemies, foreign or domestic. It doesn't matter. So the committees of safety, I know I'm preaching to the choir, are a heritage that are all the signers of the Declaration were in the committees of safety, and so it does have its grounding in our heritage, and that's the message that you need to put out when you go. You know, they want to make us look like terrorists, and then we're over the top, and this and that. Now, they've given us a lot of excuses to activate our militias. They brought this terrorism on our shores, and the answer to it is the militia. We don't need That's who, you know, Janet Reno, if you see something, say something. Blah, blah, this baloney. Never mind, say something. Guess what? You're supposed to be armed, if you know what I mean? And when they start coming across armed and they start attacking us, you better hope that you have something that you can answer that with. And that's the militia. And that's everybody being prepared in their own homes, in their own places, so that when the time comes, if they have to go to arms to protect their neighborhood and their communities, they're ready. So we need to institute that, reinstitute that, and we need to work with the sheriffs, because that's the answer. You know how powerful a sheriff with the militia is? Forget about it. This Constitution would be back in no time. So anyway, I don't want to go on and on. You kind of guys got to get the idea. But when the PowerPoint comes out that Ron Flick's doing, everybody that's doing this, and even people that aren't doing it, should get a hold of it, because it needs to go. It's actually, I think it's, I haven't seen the end product, but I kind of work with him, and he sent me copies of what he was doing, and I really like it. It needs to go into the school systems. It needs to go out there. This thing needs to hit the streets and go everywhere. And it makes your job so much easier. I know some people are afraid to talk to the sheriff and start committees of safety, and especially if you don't have a group of people and you don't have anybody that's articulate. Look, you can start showing this video to friends and neighbors and certain officials that you feel comfortable talking with, and then you build up people that come in off of that, and that's who you go to the sheriff with. You pick your best people, the people that can articulate the best, and then you go see the sheriff. You don't necessarily have to see the sheriff yourself and sell him this program yourself. What you need to do is you need to get some people in your committees of safety and become an organization, and then then go see the sheriff. If you're not coming, unless you have a relationship. See, I could go see my sheriff right now and talk to him, because I've already broken the ice with him numerous times in the past, so I have a relationship with him. But, you know, if you don't have a relationship with him and you feel funny coming in, but just remember, he's an elected official. You're his constituent. Sheriffs are very good about talking to their constituents. I mean, sometimes you got some pig-headed ones, but I'm in New York, and over here in rural New York where I live, you know, I called my sheriff because they were going to institute mandatory vaccinations. And I said, well, how are they going to do that? They're going to bring a state health worker and two state troopers. And so I called the sheriff and I said, I need to talk to you about this. And me and my neighbor, and I told him kind of what it was about. The next day he was at our house, sitting at our table, discussing it with us. He didn't wait. He came right out, because he's an elected official, and he knows if he has constituents that are not happy with something, because look at the first one that we should be calling in a situation like that is the sheriff. And that's exactly what I told him. I said, you know, if they come to my door because I don't want to give my kid the latest vaccine, and I said, I'm my gun's going out the window, and the first call I'm making is you. What are you going to do? You know, I asked him point blank. And he said, well, I will not be enforcing any unconstitutional, you know, edicts. And I said, well, as long as you understand that that's an unconstitutional edict, we're good to go then, you know. So, but that's what I did. And what I found, and I've talked to other sheriffs in other counties, they're pretty good about talking to their constituents. Now, I had meetings. I was running a tea party. We used to invite the sheriffs in and have dialogues with them when the Tea Party was first starting. And I noticed that they're very – they'll say, who's from Greene County? Like, mine's Greene County. Like, if he's astute, that's what he'll do. Because we had a couple of – we teamed two counties up. We used to meet, you know, with two counties in a meeting on our Tea Party, because we were doing the same things and we were close. And so there was, you know, we had two different counties there. And so when we had the sheriff from my county over, he would take an assessment of the room to see how many of his constituents were there. You know, so it's important to get enough people in your county, in your group, because it does make a difference to him. And put those people in the front. You can have people from other counties coming and boost up your numbers. But he's more concerned about the people that are pulling his lever because he's supposed to be working for them first. He's not too worried about the people in the other county. I mean, you got to teach him the Constitution. He's got to be worried about the Constitution, and that's the first thing he should be worried about. But he is bound to your county. His jurisdiction is your county. He can't go into another county and do too much unless he witnesses a felony in operation actually happening. There's not too much he can do in another county. You know, so look at the more powerful thing would be to get two sheriffs in two different counties, you know, sheriffs in different counties working together. That's the whole idea behind the COS, is to bring these sheriffs together and get them working and get them constitutional. And I think this new PowerPoint, when it comes out, I want everybody to grab it. It's going to be really good, and it's going to make your job a whole lot easier. So I'm gonna break now, and anybody that wants to say anything, I mean, we don't have a queue going. Everybody can just hit *6 and unmute themselves, and let's hear if anybody's got anything else, because we're already what is it? It's 9:18. Let's see what we got. Anybody out there? Go ahead. I'm gonna be quiet. So if nobody has anything, it's gonna be real uncomfortable here for the next 20 minutes. Okay. Okay, I'm waiting.
Let's see here, mute.
Whoever said let's see here, you're unmuted, so go ahead.
I don't have anything to say. I'm just, this is John in Alaska. I'm just wanting to know whether I was on mute or not.
You are unmuted, and you know, Alaska, we were watching that last night. You know, they keep Alaska like in the gray, and they said, but we haven't counted Alaska yet. Hillary was getting desperate, and I don't think she thought she had too many votes in Alaska, but the news media was holding out. You know, all the baloney. Oh, Alaska's still there, you know.
Right. Which, you only have three here.
Really?
Yeah.
Three. Well, look at. Three was starting to look like it could make a difference for a while there, you know?
Yeah, that's assuming that the whole thing was straight, but it wasn't. I think it was fraud laden to get them in, to make it look like it was close, but I think it was really a landslide.
You're right. It was a landslide. You're absolutely right. I agree 100% with you. So, anyway, thanks for that. Anybody else out there?
Hello? Yeah, Gerard?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Gary from Illinois.
Yes, Gary. How you doing?
Good.
You know what I'm talking about, too, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I just, okay. My wife was telling me about a little comic that was in the somewhere. She couldn't find it. But anyway, it says we have more coverage. It showed
Hello.
The map of the U.S. with all the red for the Republicans, and said we have more coverage than Verizon. Do you hear us now?
I love that. That is pretty good.
Yeah, she's looking for that. But yeah, to confirm what you're saying, it's going to be a very powerful video. It's a relatively short video. I believe Ron said it was 16 and a half minutes.
Hello.
Hello? Yeah, who's ever saying hello, you're unmuted. Just let Gary finish.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I kept getting a message that I wasn't unmuted, and the conference was muted, and the moderator wasn't unmuting it. So, I was just testing.
No, you're good. Go ahead, Gary.
But anyway, it's very short, and it can be shown, you know, in the home or anywhere very easily. You're not going to waste people's time very long. Of course, it's good to have a larger meeting, but it certainly lends itself to that. It's very powerful. It reaches out to a lot of like-minded people, opens up the number of capabilities like gun shops and shooting ranges and on. It attracts many, many different people because many people have arms. So it's good in that respect. And the thing that we need to keep in mind, we had a small victory, I believe, at least, in Trump being elected. However, we are in very dangerous times right now, and I feel it's a very opportune time to attract all of these people because they're trying to dumb us down again. They're coming out with Christmas music already to kind of lull you to sleep, and you got to go shopping and so on, and they just want to get it off your mind. And we got to keep in mind that even though the ballot boxes were stuffed, I'm sure, it was still a relatively, there's still millions of those numbskulls out there that we have to overcome and educate. So it's very critical times, and let's not go to sleep. Let's push, push, push. Now's the time to do it.
Yes.
And do you have the proper title?
Title for what?
For that PowerPoint he's talking about?
It's not out yet. We're going to announce it. We'll talk about it. It's not done. It's maybe, I don't know what, another week or so, Gary?
If everything goes right, it could be out in a week. Plan for maybe two.
Mm-hmm.
Just if we get it out earlier, we'll get it out as soon as we can. But it could take a little longer because the people working on it, they're doing other things.
I'm excited about it because I saw it when it was over an hour long. You know? And then Ron worked on cutting it down and cutting it down. And look, at like you said, it's a no-brainer to target the people who are already into the arms. I mean, look at that's our militia anyway, firsthand. I mean, we got millions and millions of guns. That's all we don't need any more militia than people that already have guns. If they would all get on the stick and understand what their duties are, you know, for every, like Brent says, for every right, there's a duty, and this is their duty. And so, this video impresses upon them exactly that, and it does it in a very good way, and it's so easy, and it's such a no-brainer, and I think it'll just help build your committees of safeties if you start there, and then you fan out, and look at, we're talking about communications, you got your ham radio guys, and of course, there's crossovers in all this stuff. I mean, probably a big, big portion of the ham radio guys are also hunters, you know? But you're going to get all kinds of people going to make your committees of safety very powerful, and as you reach out, you get all kinds of new talent coming in. You got doctors, lawyers, Indian chiefs, and you know, that's what this is about. And
hey guys,
go ahead.
I'm relatively new within LA, and I'm in East Central Missouri, and I went ahead and registered a COS, and I'm like you, sir, from New York. I have a relationship with my sheriff. He is one of the people, is really fairly educated on the Constitution and the fact that he's a constitutional officer and is answerable to the people, and I believe would be on our side for the most part. There's still a little bit of education there, but I am kind of doing things a little bit backwards, so hearing about this PowerPoint presentation or video is really exciting. I'm not afraid to speak in front of a group of people. It's just I need the right tools, and I'd really love it if we had like a page on NLA where all the people that what techniques are that they're using, like with the video or PowerPoint, to get in front of groups of people and to start to expand their network. And I know you fellas are talking about that now, so this is really encouraging. That's all I really need. I just need something to get me started off in the right direction. But I think we'll have a really good COS built here if I can just get in front of the right people here in Lincoln County, Missouri.
And I'm sure you will. Have you been to our COS page in
yes.
LA? Have you checked
oh, yes.
through it?
And then I have looked at most of the stuff in there, most of it.
Right. And the other thing you want to do for the sheriff in particular, I think we still have the page up, powerofthecountysheriff.com. It's actually a shoot off of the NLA page. And in there is a very important document that's good for the sheriff to read, is what his powers and authority and where they come from, you know, because they need to understand that they have this power and they need to exercise it. And so in there, John has written up all the sightings in the Constitution of where this authority comes from, and in history too.
I've actually put that into his. Yeah, I actually put that document into his hands, as well as several other documents. But yeah, I didn't want to overload him. He was really appreciative, and he said he was going to look it all over. But I just need to get the people involved now. So.
Right. So you've already taken the steps with the sheriff, and that's.
Oh yeah, I have a good relationship with him. That's not a problem there.
So this PowerPoint will help you. It makes it much easier to get out to the people. And even if they're not hunters, they're going to understand, you know. And there's a lot of off-spin from hunting and fishing, because a lot of people live off of those people that come hunting and fishing. So it's, you know what I mean? They're sympathetic to that. Mm. Somebody else wanted to say something. I think I cut somebody off there. Just a second.
Gerard?
Yes.
Yeah, I would like to go a little further on the question he asked. There will be a written script also on how to set up the committees and how to build them county to county.
Nice.
And are you a state coordinator?
Yes. No. I'm in college.
I'm sorry?
I think she... Go ahead, Lincoln County. I'm sorry, you got stepped on there, but then we'll let the next person talk.
No, sir. From Lincoln County, I already spoke. David from Lincoln County. I can go ahead and listen.
Yeah, but he was asking, are you a coordinator? That question was for you.
county coordinator. Yes, I'd eventually like to become a grand jury administrator here, but you know, we just obviously need the people involved, of course. But
right. So make sure you're taking the courses. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Okay.
No, I'm definitely going through the courses. I'm about 3/4 of the way through the civics course, and already took the Constitution course. So.
Okay. Very good.
The reason I ask that is, if you're a state coordinator, you have access to the list of all the people in your county, including your state coordinators. So I don't know who you work with or if you have, but I would. What's the procedure on becoming a state coordinator, Gerard?
Yeah, he could put his name in. I don't know exactly. Does he even have what state are you in there?
Missouri.
You're in Missouri, so I don't know how many state coordinators we have in Missouri, but he can inquire up to, you know.
Talk to Kim. I forget her last name, but I believe she's the state coordinator in this area, or at least a regional or federal district coordinator anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, that's true. Melissa is.
That's it. That's the name right there, yep.
Yep. She's the one to talk to. She can set you up.
Right,
so that way you have access to everyone in your county, and, of course, surrounding counties. You can maybe give them a call and see if they'd like to work with you in setting up committees of safety. And if you can get some help, that's always good. And you can have a meeting in one location with multiple counties if you choose, so... But if you can get some help and get some encouragement and excitement going, that helps.
Well, I think these meetings is an awesome idea, and I can already hear a lot of people bursting forth with ideas and information and these documents and this script you were talking about in the video and all of this. It really is really good for just about anybody at any level of comfortableness speaking with the public. And, you know, so I'm encouraged to see that, you know, you've got a plan that just about anybody can duplicate.
Absolutely.
Yeah, David, this is Jan, National Coordinator. If you run into things that you can't get answers on, just give me a call. You'll find me under the directory on the webpage.
Okay? I will. Yeah, hopefully I can work with Melissa and get a little bit more information from her as well. But, yeah. But I will. Thank you, Jan.
Okay, anybody else?
Hello, Gerard.
Yes.
This is Terry.
Hey, Terry.
There was an interesting article that I wanted to bring your attention to. It was InfoWars, and it talks about Matt Drudge. And let me just read the headlines here. It says, Kingmaker Drudge defeats establishment media with Trump win. And it says, we're living in the future in which citizen reporting trumps mainstream media. By standing up for Donald Trump when the establishment media was against him, media pioneer Matt Drudge has reignited independent journalism in which everyday Americans are just as important as the New York Times. Hello?
Yep, yep. I just had myself muted, so I wouldn't do it.
Oh, okay. You know, background. The thing about it is, this is very interesting because I actually have a couple of blogs myself, and they work pretty well because I called this prosecutor who, you know, prosecuted me trumped up illegal charges. I called him a criminal psychopath on my site. And so then once some guy calls me up who was also being prosecuted by this prosecutor, and he tells me that as a condition of bail, this prosecutor said that he wasn't allowed to post anything on the Internet with regard to his case. So I'm thinking that, anybody can do a blog, and you can do them for free. And it would be a good way to get your stories out there because you have people, you know, interacting and comparing notes and stuff like that.
Yeah, you know, that's amazing that the prosecutor would tell him he couldn't post anything about his case. That's a First Amendment right violation right there, whether he knows it or not. And he's really stupid to say something like that because I'll tell you what I would do because I'm the type of guy that likes to think outside the box. I would take a pseudonym and I would post everything about my case, and I wouldn't even say it was me. And I would use a different computer if I had to, or I would get other people to do it. Look, the mainstream media is dead as far as I'm concerned. They're never going to control the Internet because we're not going to let them, and plus they can't. I don't believe that they really can. I don't think they can do half of the crap they tell us they can do. It's gotten so big, and the technology runs so fast, and there's so many hackers, they can't keep ahead of it. So, and plus, they need it, too. It's like poking their eyes out. So this medium, we have to protect it because it's all we have. Nobody buys things printed anymore. It's all in digital stuff. So as far as I'm concerned, the Internet should have the same protections as a newspaper or a Bible or anything else, because that's where people are getting their newspaper and Bible from, is off the Internet. Now, you know, when you get a prosecutor that tells you something stupid like that, that's how you go after him. You know, you use the Internet and you use your court watchers, like with NLA, he should join with court watchers and put pressure on this guy that he's not operating in the dark. I mean, people should have been calling him saying, what are you talking about? You can't post anything on the Internet. That's where I get everything. I'm going to run my case on the Internet. Are you kidding me? I mean, I think that he could be taken out just for that statement. I don't think he has a right to tell somebody they can't post anything on the Internet about their case. The only way you'd be able to tell somebody something like that is if they were being prosecuted for a Internet crime where they posted some stuff that caused harm. Other than that, that's like saying you can't put anything in the mail about your case. You got to, what is he going to do? Use the Pony Express? You see, this guy's an idiot. It's like those marshals telling people you can't hand out Constitution books, and so the next day they handed out 50,000 of them or whatever they got. You know what I mean? Because right. Because that's how you meet that kind of a challenge. Look at. You have to learn how to counterpunch. It's hard to punch, but once they take a punch, they open themselves up. You can answer that, and you can see their punch and raise their, you know, and give them a left hook while you're at it. So I'm sorry to get all off the wall here about it, but that's, you know, don't ever get intimidated because that doesn't help you. These guys only understand one thing. If you stand there, The people that stand there wringing their hands when they get a police officer at the door or CPS, those are the ones they go after. They never go after the guys that are jumping up and down saying, I'm gonna call the lawyers and I'm gonna call the civil rights people. They run from that stuff. So the squeaky wheel gets the grease, and that's what we are. We want to be the squeaky wheel. So you're absolutely right.
Yeah, and the NLA, don't forget that the NLA has on the website where we can get those press ID, press passes from the Constitution, First Amendment Press Association. I've got my questionnaire filled out and ready to go, and like John or Gerard, one of you guys, said just this month that it's an actual credentialed organization that we can take a lanyard and wear the press ID around our neck if we want. We don't have to. But that's another thing to remember. And this man on his website, he stresses that each and every citizen, or man and woman, not citizen, but each and every person, or man and woman, is a journalist, that we have a right to freedom of the press, just as we have the right to freedom of speech, and we're all journalists. I yield.
You know, you just made my juices flow. Look at that prosecutor that told that guy that he can't put anything on the internet about his case. He should go and print up a press pass and start writing about every case that he should be sitting in court, and as much as he can, and putting everything about every case that guy does all over the place because he's a journalist. How do you like them apples?
Well, I'm going to follow up with this guy. This was a few years ago. I'm sure his probation has run by now. I didn't really want to push him into doing anything at the time because I don't want to get anybody in trouble. But I'm going to see if I still have his information. I'm going to follow up with him.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And, again, this is things like you're talking about. This should be discussions in your committees of safety because this is a local issue with a local prosecutor. And if you could build up a local resistance, I mean, it's one thing NLA, okay, we're a nationwide group and that has some clout, but it doesn't have as much clout as if you've got a group of 50 people in your county or 100 people or 200 people. I mean, we have some Tea Party groups out here that I mean, the Tea Party's kind of dead. They've assimilated them or whatever you want to call. But 6,000 people in it. 6,000. So, you know, get your committees of safety going because that's where the power is. It's the power is in the people. And if they know you're an organization that meets with like a town hall meeting and there's no town officials in there that can direct the conversation, you know, that's why they don't like the committees of safety because they can't control them. You know, they can't
Gerard?
Control. Yes.
Excuse me. If you're done, I was going to ask you a quick question. I noticed that on the NLA website, you guys talk about the committees of safety really being the nexus starting point to get the common law grand juries set up in each of the counties. Really, that would be the springboard and the ideal place to start. And it kind of makes sense to me, but I'm just wondering, is there any people who've already got their 25 people for their jury in any of the counties across the country that started that way and that could maybe share some information that we can put online or whatever to show some of the transitionary steps or whatever they took and maybe at least even just share their experience, even if it's not textbook per se?
Well, as far as, you see, we don't encourage people to set up grand juries per se because we have to, they don't accept the common law grand jury in the court yet. That's what NLA is doing as the unified common law grand jury. You see, once we got our case, that's why we're fighting on the federal level because a federal win counts for all the states instead of fighting each state and each county and battle. This way here we figured, put our time and our effort into a federal case that we can get the whole thing pushed through on a federal level and then everybody can do it. But in the meantime, you're still setting up administrators for the grand jury. We originally, when the first idea came out about grand juries, we were confused like other people. You know, we thought they picked a grand jury, 25 people, and, you know, and then you went and cleaned your county up. That's not how it works. First of all, you can't have a grand jury that's seated forever. Grand juries are picked on a per case by basis, or even on a per time by basis, because look, even if there's nothing going on in your area, grand juries are supposed to go in and investigate. They're supposed to go in and do audits. And believe me, I can't imagine a time any time in the near future where it's going to be so boring that nobody has any investigating to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
If you had a grand jury, and once a grand jury has been instituted, it's supposed to be accessible to the people. In other words, you should be able to go in where the grand jury is and talk to the foreman, and let's say you have knowledge of a crime or whatever, you should be able to give that information to the grand jury, and they should be able to investigate it and decide whether or not it needs an indictment. See, the prosecutors and the courts keep people away from the grand juries because, my goodness, can you imagine if you had unfettered access to the grand jury? I mean, right now that's the big problem. So many people, if they understood that they could get in and actually get in front of the grand jury to report crimes that are going on in their communities, they would be swamped because the amount of crime that's going on is ridiculous. But nevertheless, you should be able to get to the grand juries. And look, the law, in the law, and it's written too, like let's say a grand juror was – somebody came into the grand jury and the foreman was made aware of crimes being committed in another county. He has the authority to bring that information to the foreman of one of the juries in the neighboring county that the crime is taking place in, or if it spans two counties. See, they don't want any contact between grand juries and grand jury and the people. And if by setting up your committee of safety and by having people that are educated in civics and the Constitution who can become administrators, you see, you get four administrators, and basically those four administrators, they're grand jurists in the sense that they can go and investigate and see if something warrants calling a grand jury on. And then if there's something that comes up that warrants a grand jury, at that point a grand jury is picked. And it doesn't stay seated forever. It just stays seated for that incident.
I understand what you're saying.
That's how that works here. So you want to get people educated, you want to get people ready to be administrators, but you don't want to form them yet because they're not going to recognize you. You're wasting your time. Excuse me, I got to get a drink.
No, I am glad you repeated that though several times, Gerard. They're telling me that you know how you're working on things on the federal level. I'm a little slow sometimes, so I've listened to a few of the Monday night calls and just didn't put the round pegs in the square. Been trying to put the round pegs in the square holes as far as getting the big picture here, but I think you just crystallized it for me though a lot better.
Okay, you're welcome. Yeah, that's fine. This is how we learn in these meetings. You know, this is what we need to do.
I yield. You answered
okay.
My question.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep. Anybody else can feel free to pipe in. Coming on 9:45. I'd like to close it by 10 if possible. So I didn't say that to squelch the conversation, but so I'm going to be quiet. Let somebody else come on. Of course, we could close it down at 9:45. I'm not opposed to that if we're at an impasse here.
Can I ask a question?
Absolutely. Feel free.
Can you hear me? Okay. This is Corey out here in the blue state of Washington. No man's land. Yeah, right. They've been riding in Portland. Oh, what a joy. Okay. I didn't get in early enough because I was in the midst of housework and whatnot and getting dinner. And I missed the first part of this conference. And I know this conference was very important. Is it going to get – obviously, it's going to be on NLA for me to be able to hear at some point, like 2 or 3 days down the road. But I guess my question is, and I don't know if you said it or not, what do we do now? Is it still strictly committees of safety? Is it still strictly or moving forward in that respect? I mean, what are we going to be doing in the next year, all the way in 2017? What is the hope of NLA's goal?
Well, we're doing it. And
so it's committees of safety.
It's, well, no, it's not just committees of safety. Committees of safety and putting in, you know, educating people to become administrators and grand jurors. Because, look, juries and grand juries, pettit juries should be educated in the Constitution. They should know what the Constitution is, you know, and all those basic fundamental things that they've dumbed us down. So that's part of what we're doing. We talked about a PowerPoint that's going to go out, you know, for initiating and targeting those people that are already Second Amendment people that are already in doing, you know, hunting and stuff like that. And that also opens up the whole constitutional thing to bring, you know, that we can actually add to schools. People, we want this stuff to go into the schools. But in the meantime, the paperwork that we're pushing through now, and who we're working with, look, we've already sent stuff to Donald Trump. We have a person that's in his closer group, so we're working on him having contact and understanding what we're doing, and at some point, you know, he's going to be apprised of everything that we're doing, because what we need to do is we need to get this thing recognized in the courts and at the federal level so that it can filter immediately down into the counties. You see, I have somewhat of a fear of success, and I'll tell you why. Once they're instituted and it's time for us to actually go in with the administrators and pick juries and grand juries, we have to put it all together. We have to be ready for that. And we're not. We're really not. And I mean, we can get ready pretty quick, especially if we have the ear of the president or we don't even need his ear. We just need somebody in his cabinet, because Donald Trump is a guy who's a corporate CEO, and he knows how to put people out there and get information and listen to them. So I'm confident that our message is going to get there. So you better be ready, because I think when it happens, it's going to happen fast, and then we're going to be scrambling to educate people. Look at
I don't mean to interrupt. I know you want to go off, and I just want to get out, say these things quickly. So you don't know, but I'm that one person that all within a month I went through the civics and I went through the Constitution and I'm done. And I'm now and have been in school for nearly a year, both taking constitutional law and moving myself forward. I'm that person. I want to know, because all of a sudden Trump's president, and I went, oh my God, I can't walk away from this, and I had, because of family problems. And I don't want to air my dirty linen to the world. That's not important. I guess I need a private conversation. I want to come back in. I mean, I really do, because I'm prepared and ready to be an administrator. So I guess what I'm asking now on live phone, what do I do? How do I move forward? What is it you have in expectations from those people that are ready?
Well, The best thing that you can do is to get the Committee of Safety going so that you can have four people like yourself. Look,
sweetheart, not in a blue state. I'm so sorry to tell you that, but it's like pulling teeth. I mean, I'm sitting here in La La Land. There's only one guy that even worked on the Trump campaign. He didn't even have a Northwest or Southwest administrator. Anybody from the blue state or the West Coast, he didn't even touch. No, I don't mean to be detrimental and down on it, but I can scream and yell to my family and it doesn't do any good. So I'm not dropping the ball. I'm just simply telling you that might work fine in a place where you can get people enthused and interested. There are no constitutional sheriffs here. There are no people that are interested in getting involved. They voted for Hillary.
Well, I'll tell you what I found in areas like that. The easiest way to get people is to find people that the system is chewing up and recruit them. I mean, you know, look at the snake is eating the tail. Even those people that voted for Hillary, even those people that think that they're very, you know, progressive and all that, eventually they get bit by the system and they get pissed. And so, you know, if you got to go hang around the courts and listen to some of the stuff that's going on in there, and grab somebody and hand a card to them on the way out. Those are the people. I mean, you can even get officials that work for the court. Eventually, the court, they don't care. They don't care who they hurt today, and they're doing it all over. So if you got to go looking for the downtrodden and the people that are beat, then that's your pool right there. And the people you're talking about that don't care, that voted for Hillary and all this, generally speaking, those people are pretty comfortable in their financials and in their jobs and in their houses. They're living their pretty little lives, and they could care less. You have to get people that have actually been burnt by the system. And believe me, sooner or later, almost everybody gets burnt one way or another. You know what I mean? You know, whether it's by the IRS, whether it's by the local police, whether it's by, you know, just look what's going on in your community. Pay attention to what's going on. Maybe sit on court night a couple of nights in the local community and just see what's going on. And that's where you'll get people from, you know. I don't know if you've tried Meetup to see if there's any, like, Tea Party groups, but if you're in a very blue state and they're very Democratic, they're probably not in the Tea Parties. So the only way you're going to get somebody into your committee of safety is to find those people who have been hurt by the system and they're looking for an answer. And then you go minister to them and give them the tools. You don't have to educate them. You have to educate them to where to find the tools. And that's all I can tell you. I know they're there. As a matter of fact, if you're living in such a liberal state, I guarantee you that they're getting beat up, you know? And I mean, look, in this country, you get all the justice that you can afford. If you got enough money, generally speaking, unless you really get into the wrong guy, unless you hurt the wrong guy, a top guy, you can get out of it by paying your way out of it. You know what I mean? So I know that's going on, but eventually somebody ends up getting hurt pretty bad, and there's all kinds of issues of why they look at the childhood courts are horrible, and I'm sure they're horrible by you. As a matter of fact, we were working cases up there in Washington that went all the way up to the White House. It's disgusting. So I know that you got enough injured people out there. You need to go find them, and you know, and I'm sure some of them are like ready to go. They're educated. I don't know what else to tell you. I mean, that's where I would suggest doing, looking for those people, and I know they're there, but you're not going to get them by putting an ad in the newspaper for sure. Okay?
Thank you.
Gerard.
Yes.
This is Tim in Michigan. I wonder if this might be an opportune time for you to explain the common law handbook that's available to a lot of these new folks.
Yeah, the common law handbook, actually, it's funny you should bring that up because John is revising it because, you know, as we move along, we learn new stuff, you know, and there's some things in there that need to be revised now with our new knowledge. And we're going to have a new one out. I don't know. I don't want to speak out of turn. I don't want to speak for John and the guys that are working on this, but that's a good point. We do have the common law handbooks. I think we need to get new ones. See, the problem is we got to order like 50,000 at a time, and right now we sold out of them, I think. I don't know how many he has available, and we have to send for another one. But we also have them on the site where you could actually print them up and fold them yourselves. They're a little bit bigger than our book, you know. So I don't know that we're going to make another order since he's thinking of revising it. Because there's some very important stuff that we discovered that needs to go in that book or needs to be changed. Because we discovered that there, that either it was wrong or there was, or it could be more powerful. But that little handbook is very good because it's for judges and sheriffs and jurors. It's a very complete book. I mean, you should go on and look, you could go in each different subject and be, it's an educational tool. It really is. And that's why we were handing them out in the courts and different places and leaving them, because don't get me wrong, it's a good book. Just because we're going to revise it, that book is still better than probably most books that you can find out there, because it has all the research on the sheriff and the juries and the grand juries are all in that book. It's a good little book to give you a quick primer on the overall picture. And so I'm not telling you don't get it, because I think they're very good, and even the ones that we had before. I'll find out from John how many he has left. We try to keep the price down on them, and so if we order a big order, we can keep the price down. But that's where we are now. And I don't know, and if you haven't seen the book, and I would get some from John. They're not that expensive. And if he's got any, get a hold of them, especially if they're very good for your COSs. It's a quick primer to bring the people up to get their juices flowing, because they're going to read information in there that they never seen before. The little Constitution books that we get from the Constitution, whatever the name of that company is, Constitution Education, where we get, and they're only like 30 cents a piece.
Citizens Rule Book.
Yeah, the Citizens Rule Book. That's a good book too, and
yep.
and so between that and the Constitution, you can go into court. I used to carry one of each in my back pocket, because look at, you want to know what the Fifth Amendment was, or what article this or article that, because many of the time, if you just read those books, you'll understand when you go into court, you listen to the judge or something, you'll know immediately when he's violating the Constitution. And so if you know it and you can pull it out and refer to it, it's very powerful. Very powerful when you can, even some of our forefathers' words, most people have never heard some of these quotes from Washington and Jefferson. If you have those things at your fingertips and you learn them and you use them in context of the conversation, if you can put them in where they actually fit, people will think you're amazing. They'll think you're a genius when they don't. And look at it, it's so easy to be a genius. Just learn Jefferson and Washington and learn how to throw his quotes in, and you can even give him credit. It doesn't matter. People are not used to hearing it, and when they hear something like that, it's so powerful, especially when they've been exposed to it the first time. That's a great way to get somebody on the hook as far as wanting to be educated. So if you know the Constitution and the Articles and a few forefathers' quotes where you can put them in context, hey, you're a leader. People need leaders. Right now we need leaders. That's what we need. Donald Trump can be a leader. We have to help him because he needs to be educated. But, they say, oh, one man can't fix the country. Yes, he can if he's a leader, because if Congress doesn't do what he wants, he gets up and he gets in his bully pulpit and he said, well, I wanted Congress to do this, this, and that in order to stop this so you guys could get relief, and they won't let me. You know what happens the next day? The congressman's telephone things light up. Meep. That's how you help the president. If he goes to the people and asks them, he could do that. That's a leader, and that's what we need to do. So if you go into these situations and you're armed with knowledge, because my people perish due to their ignorance, and you can articulate them in the right place, you become a leader, and people will seek you out. You won't have to go look for them. They'll seek you out. And these tools that we have on the site, those little books, is all you need. Just become familiar with them. Carry them around. Read them from time to time. And before you know it, you're going to be a sponge. You're going to get that. And the new book is going to be really good when it comes out, because it's going to have it's going to expand upon some of the stuff that's in there and make it much more powerful. So some of the information that we discovered and we're going to make it very powerful. It's going to be a good little book. You're going to want to have one in every room and in your car. You know what I mean? So I'll rest.
It'll probably it'll include committees of safety too, won't it?
Absolutely. It's got. I mean, hopefully we can get it all in the little book. No, it's actually not that complicated. It's just a matter of another page or two, and expanding upon some of the information. And there was a couple things in there that weren't exactly right. They were put in. You know, this country has been under attack since the Constitution was written. And so there, you know, you have versions of things. We've discovered certain sentences that are not so that we need to fix, because they've filtered their way through, and we go through and we figure that's the right thing. And then we found out that a couple of things were not exactly right. Not so bad that they would, you know, completely ruin you, but they're not right. We want everything perfect. You know, we don't want to, you know, we don't want to have any cracks of misinformation or the wrong information mixed in with truth. That's the trick of the devil, is to mix lies with truth. So whenever we find something that's not exactly right, we want to take it out as soon as we can. Anyway,
thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, Gerard. I know it's running late. I had just one other item I wanted to mention to the group.
Go ahead.
I ran onto a booklet recently called Original Intent. It's by Clayton Kramer. Subject is What the Founders Really Said About Guns. I haven't read through it or studied it, but I found it in an ad in the old Shotgun News, which is now called the Firearm News. And if somebody wants to pick up a Firearm News off the newsstand, they'll probably see an ad for this booklet. It looks good to me.
That's good. I've heard of Original Intent. You're not the first person that said that. So,
oh, okay.
I'd like to get. I haven't seen it though. So if it's in Firearm News, maybe I'll do that.
Yeah. Yep. You can send for them groups of 10 or more.
Yeah. And Original Intent is a term that they use, you know, when studying the Constitution. You know, these people that think that the Constitution needs to be a living document and all that baloney, it was meant to be interpreted exactly the way it was written. The original intent was, and the Constitution is a living document in a certain fashion, because, look, it's being, when you use the Constitution as a framework, it even applies to the new technology that's out. It's not a dead document. Things like fundamental values, things like envy, jealousy, hate, love, they don't change. I don't care. And so you have to have fundamental values for those things, and that's what the Constitution does. And each case is supposed to be taken for its own merits. And so in that sense, our common law changes with the times. But the fundamental values, look at murder, will never not be murder. I don't care. And anybody tells you that it isn't, he's selling you smoke and mirrors, okay? So that's where we're at. That document is so far ahead of its time, because it can never change. It can survive without changing, and it protects us all through our growth and where we're going. So original intent is the way that you want to use the Constitution anyway, okay? Thank you for that.
Hey, thank you.
Gerard?
I'm out.
Gerard?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd like to throw out something to the lady out on the left coast out there. Those kind of comments I get wherever I go. I could be in the city. I could be out in the country. No matter where you go, it's always you can build it somewhere else, but you can't build it here. And I find that you can build it anywhere. Some areas, of course, are easier. But if you get out, like you were suggesting, go to the school board meeting. You've already got women that are there complaining about certain things. The women are the most active. You've got a committee right there in most cases, because they have an interest. Maybe they don't like the vaccination. Maybe they don't like the Common Core. There's reasons that these people are there and they're active. They're not sitting at home. So getting out to the board meetings and that, like you were suggesting, that's a great place to start a committee of safety. And you can build it anywhere. It's just that you have to get out and find the people. And, of course, those people you find know others like them. And it's a great way to do it. When I was in multi-level marketing years back, I always got that question then, too. Well, you can't build it here. But we ended up building it there, too. So just keep the faith and keep the faith and get out in the community and get to those board meetings. Typically, there are people taking action right now.
And you know what? If they're doing all that liberal Democrat stuff or the things that have, that we've been facing with this election, they got to have the most imperfect community because we know that stuff doesn't work. It's like what Putin said about Obama when he first took office. He said, I don't know what Obama thinks he's doing. He said, we tried all that stuff here for 80 years and it doesn't work. And he's acting like it's a new idea. So, you know, if they think their liberal, progressive stuff works, you know what? It only works when they're hurting people, because that's what that type of government does. It hurts people. Find the people that are not happy with it. You know, I mean, look at one of the reasons Trump did so well is he had a lot of Democrats changing, you know, pulling the lever. Yes.
Gerard, for the lady in Washington State, there are indications that the ballots were so badly skewed that Washington should have gone red. So all she has to do is look for the people that voted, and they'll be there.
Yes, yes. And I don't know. Look, we're living in interesting and exciting times. And I'm a little fearful until the inauguration because we don't know what they're going to pull. So, you know, everybody, we got to hit the ground running and be prepared for anything. You know, look, don't forget those maniacs are still in there until the 20th of January. And they got their fingers on buttons that we don't want them on. You know, and you hope that Hillary doesn't just have a meltdown or Obama say, if I can't have it, nobody will have it. You know what I mean? So anyway, hopefully we have enough people up there in the higher ends in the military that are watching these guys and babysitting them. You know, as far as I'm concerned, now that the election's over, they can indict Hillary and Obama. I mean, Comey was told not to indict them on the eve of an election, and I understand that because that's almost a matter of national security. Could you imagine if he would have indicted her? I mean, if he indicted her, then he would have had to arrest Obama because Obama's implicated in all that stuff. So we have an opportunity now to keep this ball rolling. And I think one of the first things is going to be getting those people, you know, justice, because they never pay for what they're doing. And so part of what we're doing is going to be bringing them to justice. And, you know, Washington needs to be straightened out because they're killing the grand juries
what?
Over there. They're killing the sheriffs. I don't know. That's one of the states that they really, I don't even know if they have sheriffs anymore, if they're all appointed. But that's how Connecticut is. Connecticut, I don't think, has any sheriffs. And those are the first things that we're going to ask Trump and his team to fix, those constitutional things, because that's a big problem. Anyway, I rest.
Gerard?
Yes.
Yeah, Washington State sheriffs are still elected. So we're okay there. I have been reading several articles on the internet tonight where they're, and I don't know if this is just a placation, but they're saying that there is a way that Hillary could, in fact, take the election away from Trump, and that's when the Electoral College votes on the 19th of December. If 20 of those people change their vote to Clinton, it would give it to her and take it away from Trump. Now, granted, they are saying that it is a long shot, but they're giving that little olive branch out there to all those people that are protesting.
Yeah, and, you know, the goal for them is to have unrest, because that would create certainly a situation that would bring the people into the streets, and that's what they want.
Right, and that's what they want.
Yeah, that's what they want.
Right.
So,
hey, Gerard, real quick.
Wait. Yes.
I read an article today about Governor Krispy Kreme. He said that Trump was just joking when he was talking about prosecuting Hillary.
Well,
I hope that's not true.
Yeah, I don't trust Christie. I don't even know.
Trump, oh, I hate that guy.
I can't believe that Trump has him, like, ready to go into his cabinet or whatever. But the answer to that problem that you're talking about is to have her indicted. Then the point is moot. She's on her way to jail.
Right.
Look, New York City police have enough evidence to do it themselves. We don't need Comey. We don't even need Trump. She should go to jail regardless. The New York City police hate her, I believe, and so I think that's probably up to the people to push that. She should be indicted on the information they have on her on the pedophilia rings they've been running, the Lolita Express. That's enough to put them in jail for a long, long time. And if we can get her indicted before the 20th. Then who cares what the Electoral College does? She's going to be indicted. I don't know if it should be able to happen. Will it happen? I don't know. You know what I mean? And I'll be honest with you. I don't think Trump should do it. I think the New York City police should do it. Because if there's a chance of her getting in with the Electoral College and Trump prosecutes her, they'll say he's only doing it because she might have got the electoral roll. You see what I'm saying? And that's going to be enough to make riots in the street. See, they want riots. They don't want us fighting with the pen like we're doing. They want us in the street so they can clamp us down and put us under martial law. We should not buy into that by any stretch of the imagination. So I don't know what's going to happen, but that's another direction. That's another goal of NLA. We should be getting out there and really pushing to have her indicted, because she's a criminal. And Obama's a criminal, too, but Obama's done. I didn't think Obama was going to leave office, to tell you the truth. I made a prediction after his first term. I said, something's going to happen, and he's going to stay in office. And believe me, that can still happen. Trump hasn't been inaugurated yet. We can have a false flag. I don't know what they got planned. I mean, look, it's been nice thinking that he got elected and all that, but don't unload your guns yet. You know, because they got something up their sleeve, and I don't know.
That's right.
And they probably
have
more than one thing up their sleeve. So we have to
remain
vigilant. And we kind of got a line into Trump. I don't know how deep it is, but we're going to work on improving that. And I mean, if he said an awful lot of things that he's got to hold up to now. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't know. How he could go back on a lot of that stuff without creating all kinds of problems. We'll see what happens. It's in God's hands now. I mean, we're going to do the right thing no matter what. But I think the big thing is to scream to have Hillary indicted now that the election's over. Anyway.
Sounds like a good time for unified grand jury to send a letter to NYPD, please.
Absolutely.
Hey, Gerard?
Yes.
Hey, what is that gal's name out in Oregon where we sent all that evidence to? We were talking today. We'd like to get a hold of her and see if she could put the rock on Trump's radar. Do you know her name offhand?
Yeah, look, we have one contact with her, and that's Robert Bristow.
Okay.
We don't want too many people, because she's already taken a packet of our stuff. And
yeah.
Look, he's in the middle of getting ready for, you know, to be inaugurated and stuff. So he's already got our stuff in front of him, and we don't want to keep bugging him, because at some point, look, at all we're going to do right now, the plan right now, what we have built up, is to keep him informed on what we're doing. In other words, every time we got something that we filed, like if we filed something in New York City to the New York City police about Hillary, he'll get that paper sent to him directly. You know what I'm saying? To his contact, to him, okay? And I can't say it's sent to him directly. We're going to send it to our contact. And if I know Trump, he listens to the people that he puts out there as his liaison, you know. And the people who are his liaison are good people because they know if they don't get an important piece of information that was handed them to him and something comes out of it, he's going to be saying, you're fired. You know what I'm saying? So I think we have a good chance as long as we stay vigilant. And it's already in the works. But I agree. We need to help the New York City Police by giving them a paper that's signed by us that goes in on the record. So we're instituting the lawsuit that we're taking the number, and we can add that to it too. We can do an indictment of her the way we normally do them, you know, online, and. And see what happens.
Hey, Gerard.
Okay. Yes.
I would think that there was probably a fair number of people, poll watchers, and others that have evidence of the fact that it was more of a landslide than a squeak through,
right.
And these people should be keeping their evidence right at hand. To offset any other hanky panky that might come through, you know.
Yep.
That's all I had to say.
Thank you very much. Anyway, I got another call that I got to go on here in a minute, so I'm going to have to close out. I mean, I mean, if you want to leave this open, I could leave it open, but I have to get on my home phone here. I'm due to call somebody here. I'm a little late. So, if anybody...
Thank you, Gerard, and thank you to all the veterans out there.
Okay, thank you. Here